Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we see all of the activity and all of the conflict going on around us in this world and in this life. Lord, we ask you to guide and protect us in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometime we wonder about life. We wonder why we're here. Why did God put us here? And what is our purpose? And might we like to be pleasing to ourselves, or would we rather be pleasing to God? That's all a part of the questions that we have to ask, and we have guidance all through the Bible to tell us a little bit about this and that. I think about the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, as they are waiting for their master to return. Just like in Esther chapter 2, that were born for a time such as this. And how are we going to be the good steward, as is mentioned in Daniel 25, to take care of what God has entrusted us with, this life or even riches? How are we going to please God with the life that we live? Well, Ephesians 5:16 speaks about using the time that we have wisely. Oh, there we go. Acts 1:7 also talks about knowing the times and the seasons. So, we seek to understand, and we have guidance along the way, like in 2 Chronicles 12:32, it speaks of the sons of Zechariah, who knew the times and the seasons. And therefore, we know something about what we are to do in this life. And of course, it's a question. It's a question about how are we going to live and what are we going to do. Probably we are going to seek God's will. And when you think of Matthew 22:37, there is the great commandment, which is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. So then what are we supposed to do? I think of Mark 16:15, which tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So how would you live to please God? Well, we have scripture to help us with that. And just make sure that whatever your ideas are or your actions are, make sure they're all lined up with what the Bible tells you. That is a part of how we live life. We know what God says in His holy word, and we try to live according to that word of God as we have our time and our energy devoted to
life as we choose to live. Will it be to ourselves or will it be to God? I think it makes a difference in our eternal destiny. Well, let us remember to give thanks to God for all the blessings that we do have, and as we anticipate having a wonderful eternal life in heaven. So we want to think about doing God's will rather than our own selfish and prideful attitude, and have a lifestyle that we think of ourselves enjoying. What will it take to get into heaven? How are we going to live? And we do have to consider what happens if we get distracted by all of the things of the world, all the bright lights and shiny objects around us. What are we going to do and how are we going to live? Are we going to live in a way that makes us suitable for life in this world? Or are we going to live in a way that makes us suitable for living in a God's heavenly kingdom? Well, let us have every effort to repent and to walk in holiness. And you probably know what that means, and if you don't, give it some consideration to see how you can repent and to walk in holiness until the day the judgment arrives. When will that be? Well, it could be when we die. It could be when we are raptured. And we can see that all the things that we are dealing with are actually temporary. And only eternity is the real thing that we want to pay attention to. Which reminds me of Jim Elliot, who reflected on this reality, and he said to his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And of course, he was talking about his life and eternal life. And so we have the things in the Bible to seek understanding and to live accordingly. Jim Elliot was a missionary in South America in the 1950s. And when he was reflecting on life, that is what he said. And our Bible tells us many things, too, about life and how to live. John 16:33 says, "In this world you will have trouble." And we know that there will be trouble. We know this is true. And it's a part of life's experience. And we want to have life's experience. Some of us want it to the fullest. It's just that we seem to seek the blessings of life and not the troubles of life. It's a matter of the choices we make and what happens. We do try to tell others why it's a good idea to avoid trouble and seek the good of life. And we all do that in a different way. We have all had troubles in life, and we have all tried to prepare both physically and spiritually so that we have a good and gentle, easy life. I just heard of a man talking about giving a warning to all the people of America. He talked about the military coming along and taking a leadership role in the attacks that are coming to America. And whether we believe it or not, we can understand that we face things right now that we have never faced in the past. And we want to be prepared both spiritually and physically for whatever is going to come along. Now, there are also people who talk about the possibility of a civil war that would attack people in our own country. Now, all these are possibilities, and we get to weigh these things out and see what the possibilities are, and therefore, how are we going to prepare? Is it going to be an urgent consideration? Or do we have time to prepare for the troubles that are coming? And of course, we don't know the real truth of that answer. We use our reasoning ability to try to understand what is coming, of course, in an economic and a political way, but just with the events of life. We have things to figure out and choices to make, and how to make the preparations that we believe are going to be good for us. As we see the world having troubles all around us, there's even decay and even crises around us. Sometimes they're economic, sometimes they're political, and sometimes it is personal. And we think about the troubles we face, and we want to minimize the things that could hurt us. And therefore, we do get prepared. Just as the Bible tells us about preparation, it is often different from what we consider, but it is still preparation, and that is something that we all get to consider. How are we going to prepare? And my thinking is the most basic: water, food, and warmth. And then I think it's wise to have a community that we call upon to help us. It can be family, it can be friends, it can be an interest group that we share, just to have people around us to give us a reaction to what it is that our thoughts are about how to prepare. And in these days that we are living in right now, there are plenty of people who believe that they see what is really going on. And sometimes they think it is war, and sometimes it is simply a terrorism or a conflict that goes on around the world or in our very life. And so we get to think about it and do something about it. And we all have a different idea about what should be done. The thing is to get some consideration about what you would like to do. We see the troubles in the world. I'm thinking right now of Syria, how the Muslims in Syria are attacking and killing the Druze, which are kind of like an offshoot of Israel. They are a kind of a separate group. And whatever you think of the whole situation, we do have to be concerned when we see truckloads of Muslims driving off, expecting to hunt down and kill the Christians in Syria. Now, of course, such a thing could never happen in America, could it? Well, we do see that there get to be riots and disorder, and we see Black Lives Matter, and we see people contained or people let go. It all happens in America. And we can see the pro-Palestinian rioters, how quickly they are either contained or let go. And we have to remember that this has always gone on one way or another, either the containment of people or the relaxation and letting people do what they whatever it would do. We saw this on January 6th, where the protesters in the U.S. Capitol were, well, they were dealt with. There were arrests that were made, and, well, it's a lot of trouble. So America has things going on. We can argue that there is a perversion of justice going on. And we can say that there are special interests that are being, well, they're either being dealt with gently or harshly. So it's all a matter of what we understand, but it gives us a little clue about how to prepare for what we think is coming when we see things loud and clear that are going on. Loud and clear reminds me of the people who are now saying no one is above the law. But obviously, there are plenty of people who believe they are above the law and they don't have to do what the law says. So, we have a certain disorganization here in America where people ought to recognize how quickly an internal conflict could happen. You could even call it a war or a civil war. And sure, we want to promote peace and love, but it doesn't always happen. People have their own ideas, and they all move with a different force of action. Now, I know many people expect Christians to, what they call it, pray on your knees or fight on your knees, which is in prayer. And the thought that goes along with that is that God will fight the battle and you will support the actions of God in prayer. Well, it makes me think about people in the Bible in the past. All the Bible people, the heroes of the Bible, do you think they prayed on their knees a lot? Yes, I do believe they did. But I also think that when it came time for action, they moved with great activity. I think of David and how he had a strong relation to God. And then, as 1 Samuel chapter 17 says, David was very angry at Goliath because Goliath blasphemed against God. Other people in the Bible were mad at the enemy because the enemy blasphemed God. Gideon was one of those people. When he was at the threshing floor, he was mad at the Philistines because they were blaspheming God. And so we have people who get mad at the opposition, and they feel like it's time for them to act, just like Esther. Esther in, was it chapter 2? Chapter 6. She said she was born for a time such as this. That was chapter 4. And Esther said now was the time for action, and she acted. And we all will recognize that we have a time for action, just like the heroes of the Bible. They had a time when they prayed, and they had a time when they took action that was appropriate to a God-honoring solution of action. Now, I cannot say what you ought to do. All I can say is that we have times in front of us that we are going to have to react to. And there will be a time to protect the innocent, and there will be a time to promote the gospel. And we all have to have a spiritual relationship with God so that we can understand the timing and what to do when we have an opportunity to act. I think of right now the IDF soldiers who are protecting the Druze in Syria. And was that a time for them to act? Or was that a time to pray on their knees as the Druze were getting attacked by pickup load fulls of Muslims who were carrying rifles with them to kill the Druze in Syria? There is a time for action, and we want to do actions with godly care so that we are obeying the will of God. And a part of it can be to love God and love your neighbor. And we better think of how we do that with righteous holiness. I do wonder about what would happen if we had a conflict in the USA. What would people do? I think of the thousands of deer hunters in the USA, and I think how many deer hunters think that they are well armed when they have one or two boxes of ammunition, you know, 20 or 40 bullets. And then I think of all the rapid gunfire that goes on in other parts of the world. And I think of the American soldiers who, when they are on patrol, they have a minimum of 200 bullets with them whenever they go out. So that makes me think of any American who is considering protecting the rights that they have. And how many bullets should they have? Two boxes or 40 bullets, or should they have 200 bullets with them? And I sure don't know the answer to that. All I can see is that I wonder what is coming, and I think it is only wise to get protected and to get prepared in ways that only you know what that means. Is it with water and food and warm clothes? Yes, of course it is. But it might be with something else too. And I don't mean I advise you to do it. I only say that it is good to think before you need to take an action. And we think about dealing with people around us, and we want to do this in a way that is holy and righteous. I think we can learn a lot from the Bible, the stories in the Bible about what these people did. And sure, there were many of peace-loving men in the Bible, and we ought to pay close attention to that because we want to show the love of God to other people as we love God and love our neighbor. But we do have a history. Our history books tell us that there is a time for a physical reaction. Our Bible tells us that too. It's simply that they are done with different beginning and endings in mind. But it's something that we can examine and see what our part ought to be as the world goes on. And what I see is I see shaking in the world. God is shaking the world, and we are to deal with all the events in the world in a holy and righteous way. So let us walk in holiness and recognize that judgment will come to each one of us for what we think, say, and do. Let our Lord touch our minds and our hearts, our families and our churches and our communities. We have much to pray for as God interacts with the things that we pray for that are right in front of us. Let us align with God's holiness and not the events of the world. And let us declare our faithfulness to Jesus, first with words and then with deeds, righteous and holy deeds, as we faithfully follow Jesus. In the last 10 years, there have been so many people, billions of people. Oh yeah, when you think of India and China, there are billions of people who have had to deal with a digital currency. And they've pretty much eliminated all paper currency from those two countries. Not completely, but mostly. And now we have things going on in America where under Trump, the USA has passed a new law called the Genesis Bill. And it sets a path forward to become a digital dollar and economic system. And now it can be argued that this Genesis Bill does not create a digital dollar. Rather, those backers say that it creates a stable dollar. But what is the difference between a stable dollar and that digital dollar, which would be like a CBDC, a central bank digital currency? They're pretty close. They really are. So what are lawmakers creating? That bill was signed by the Senate, the Congress, and the President. It's law. And we can only wonder what is it going to be or what is it going to turn into. Look, we don't really know what it will actually become, but we sure know the direction. And somehow, we have to recognize the difference between what we are told, that it will be a stable currency, or will it be a step towards the mark of the beast system? See, this is the thing. We get told one thing, but what is the reality? And we have to weigh the difference between what is said and what we can understand about the steps going forward. Well, the Bible certainly discusses what is going to happen. It talks about there being a beast system with the mark of a man, 666, where you cannot buy or sell unless you have the mark. And you know that if anybody takes that mark, they are going to have an eternity in the lake of fire. So we have to figure out in advance what we are going to do when this system gets to be right in front of us and we are forced to accept it, or we're forced to starve and live without the modern conveniences. Somehow, we are all going to have to make a choice about what we are going to do. But if we have no idea what Revelation 14 means about taking the mark, which allows us to buy or sell, if we have no idea about it, it wouldn't be a very good outcome to end up in hell because we took that mark thinking we were doing good. Read the Bible and get a good understanding of what you are going to do when you are faced with the choices that are soon coming. Sooner than we think. Because look what just happened. We just had that Genesis bill pass. That is all just ever so recent, and somehow we are going to have to figure out what we are going to do. Are we going to be a part of it and know that we're going to the lake of fire? Or are we going to stand up for that independence so that we do not have to rely on the mark of the beast? Wouldn't be easy. Wouldn't be easy to survive without a system, but somehow we have to use our brains to try to figure out how we are going to get through a time of trouble. Trouble has always been with us, and when I think about Jesus, how Jesus loved us enough to go to a Roman cross and die on that cross, we know that there can be great love that we can have for God and for other people. And of course, God, Jesus has that great love for us that he died on that cross to pay the price for our sins and make it possible for us to enter the kingdom of God. So that's what Jesus did for us because he loves us. And now, what are you going to do to love Jesus back? How are we going to live or even die for Christ? Well, I think we're going to pay attention to what the Bible says. I always like the great commandment in Matthew 22:37, where we are to love our God and love our neighbor. That's a little more than that, but I'm going to have you read that. That's the basics of it. Love God, love our neighbor. And now we have a life that we are trying to live according to God's will and still do things with wisdom and holiness. And somehow we know that we want a place in heaven. And when Jesus returns, we will certainly go to, well, we expect to be raptured and go to heaven. Now, there are many people who will die before them, and they will be judged and go to heaven or hell. And the thing is we want heaven and not hell. So let us live in holiness as we realize what is going on around us and how we want to, well, live a life of holiness. I had a great conversation a week ago just with a few Christians. And the reason it was such a great conversation is because we looked at the rapture because of what the Bible said. We looked at biblical scripture to understand the rapture. And really, we didn't have anybody talk about their own personal, well, we did have it a little bit, but it wasn't said with any force to say, well, I believe this or I believe that. No, it was a nice discussion about when the rapture could occur. And yeah, could it happen any time? Or does Jesus have to return first? Or we did talk about dates without setting dates, but we did recognize there are a few dates of like 2029 or 2030 and even 2068. All these dates have some argument about when Jesus could return. And we don't know when Jesus will return. We know it's a mystery. But we entertained a few ideas and a few dates just for the fun of looking at Scripture and how it could unfold. So it was a wonderful conversation. Enjoyed it very much. And when you think of Bible history, you have to put things in order, just like you do today with all the things that are going on around us. How do we put Scripture into an order where it could happen pretty much any time? And we do know that God hears our prayers, and sometimes God will answer our prayers in a way that we might not expect. But he does this in a way to show us the advantage of having patience, having our prayers answered, yes. And how do we look at what's going on? Well, we pray with purpose. I think that's the first thing we do. And we try to live with purpose, and the purpose is to live in God's purpose. So that's what we do when we pray and we seek God's will, and try to have a plan and a purpose that is all about God's will.
There's so many people in the world who just think about what they want, and they make plans and save their money to enjoy their time and their money in the pleasures that they expect to see. But that doesn't mean it's God's will. And that's the thing. We want to be prepared for living God's will, because that's where we want to live, in that heavenly place where God's will is done. So let's practice living in God's will now, so that heaven becomes the perfect transition for us to get into heaven and to do God's will. Now, we do have experiences in life. We do have knowledge and book knowledge and Bible knowledge. And we try to understand how everything can be done, how the Bible situations can be true, how people in the Bible can tell us truths which reflect God's righteousness and God's way. That's a good reason to study the Bible, so that we can see what pleases God in the midst of all the things that go on. Well, we know life has conflicts, and we know that life has disasters which God has allowed. They can be natural disasters, they can be political disasters, they can be war, they can be an earthquake or a windstorm. Now, all these things are going on, and we look across the United States and we can see there are great big floods, or before that there were fires in Texas, and which flooded, and now Tokyo has flooded, now New York has flooded, and we look across Europe and across China, and we see flooding, flooding, flooding. We also see that there are earthquakes and volcanoes, so we know that we don't really know what is going to happen when, but we know Scripture, and it tells us to prepare because there are these things coming. And so that's what we want to do, and that is a way of showing our love to our neighbor, when we care for them by giving them water, food, and warmth. So yes, indeed, there's a lot in the world that is trouble, and there's a lot in the world that we can do to help other people when trouble comes along. I think of all the concerns that we have and the trouble that is coming, because that's what Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us. Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. All of these talk about what is coming, and basically it means war, famine, disease, and earthquakes. So we see what's going on, and we want to get prepared for getting through a time of trouble and showing God's love to other people as we show loving kindness to the people around us. And we can see what some really simple things are to get us prepared for what is coming in the future. For famine, of course, we want water and food to get us through a time of trouble. And that's something we can do. We don't have to get the best that there is, which would cost thousands. We can get 15 pounds of rice and 15 pounds of beans. And we can get so many gallons of water. We can do these things simply. It does not have to be with perfection or with the best flavors. But let's get somewhat prepared for whatever is coming as we see wars and rumors of wars. Remember that? Yeah, it's right there in the Bible. And we do see that there will be all kinds of wars between countries and civil wars. It's all getting ready to shape up. So let's get a little prepared for the things that are looking like they're going to happen. And I do see what goes on in other countries. I read the news and I hear that there are mercenaries going to the different countries, ready to fight, ready to take spoil from the houses they conquer. Oh, that's going on in Ukraine right now. The country is asking for fighters to come to Ukraine to fight the Russians. And if they go into any houses and take whatever there is in the houses, it has been reported, well, I don't read Ukrainian, so I have to rely on the reports, but the reports say that the foreign fighters are invited to take whatever they want from the houses and then send them back to their home country so that the home country people can eat and get rich. So, we have things going on. Do you know what they are? I don't exactly know, but I sure get an idea that there are things going on that we don't want to see go on in America. And so, let's get a little prepared for preserving our freedom, preserving our constitutional government. And for that, it surely helps to know the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We see that things are really falling apart when it comes to our monetary system. We see that the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, talks about our money only being precious metals and semi-precious metals. And yet, ever since 1913, when the Federal Reserve was formed by a decree of Congress, there has been a devaluing of the United States dollars. And we get to figure out how to preserve what we can that has value, whether it is the value of a dollar or the value of any food or supplies. And that's something that we are facing right now, with how to preserve the value of what we have as inflation decreases what our money will buy. We are in a hard time with that, and we know from book history, and we know from Bible history, that money has failed. And this is something which we can expect that pattern to continue, because it has happened so many times in the past. It happened 100 years ago in America, more or less. Money has lost its value. Happened in all the major countries, Russia, China, also Argentina, also Mexico, and Brazil, and Greece, Egypt. All these modern countries in the last 100 years have lost a significant part of their money value. It's devalued. And there's a process for that happening. And then the people who print the money can buy whatever they want. And in America, it's the Federal Reserve that prints the money, and they can get money whenever they want for whatever they want. It's a system where we, the people, get the difficult part of the of what has happened when our money devalues. We have a hard time getting through it, so we want to buy the things that will retain value and not lose value. That's something we all have to think about, because it affects us different. Now, we have things that are happening around the world. We have a situation where the things that are opposed to God are growing, and things which God is a part of are diminishing. We have that very recognizable when we read certain parts of the Bible, and I think of Revelation chapter 18, which is the fall of Babylon. And I see things happening in our country which is inviting the fall of the country and the money. And there are things which are going to invite hard circumstances where we cannot get the things we need, like gas and groceries, or even money. And maybe have heard there was an electrical outage in China, widespread among the big cities, and the people of China were no longer able to use their digital money. Everything stopped. They couldn't access anything that they needed. Their payments were not accounted for. In fact, no payments were made. They couldn't access their accounts. So, these are things that are going on for what we can expect, and therefore there will be some things which will retain value. Now, I don't think it's a good idea to store gasoline, but some people will store it. And in China, when there was this big problem just so many weeks ago, when gas sold for $5 a gallon, that's a nominal number. Then when everything shut down, gas was selling for $50 a gallon. And it's a matter of what happens when the economy struggles and has great difficulty. And so we get to consider what things will hold value in the time of trouble. It's not that we know, but we sure have indicators about what actually holds its value and what does not. Now, I think of water, food, and warmth as the basics for what everyone needs. And the conditions around us are getting more uncertain in America. We can really only guess what the things are that will be in short supply. So whatever is coming, we want to be sure to be faithful to God. And when I think of faithfulness to God, I think of preaching the good news of the gospel. And that is something we're told about in Mark 15:16. That's probably what we're here for. And everybody gets to understand what the Bible says and then to do it. I hope you do. I hope you read it. We have directions to understand what to do. So we want to survive just a little bit longer than the time that we have now so that we can speak about the good news of the gospel to the people around us. You can hear any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And from my free preparedness list, if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll get that back to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So be cautious with all the things that are going on around you, and remember to be loving God and loving your neighbor. God bless you.